Start in prayer. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for the worship time today. Lord, thank you that we could just be in your presence and worship you. Lord, what an honor and a privilege. Thank you for the fragrance of Christ, our Lord Jesus. Lord, we just bless you for your sweet, precious love for us. Lord, how much you love us. So thankful, Lord. We bless your name. Amen. You know, there's a song, 195. We're not going to sing it. But the first verse just really encapsulates what is on my heart to share. And what I have to share is very simple, very, very simple, straightforward. 195, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. How wonderful is my Savior's love for me. What a marvelous thing. Today we're going to be sharing about God's grace on the Laodicean church, but to help calm my nerves and just for fun, I collected 8 verses on grace, which I'm just going to read, and you can just sit back and enjoy the verses. It's a great practice, I think, to pick us something from the scriptures like his blood or his love, anything, any subject, and just list the verses. And I like to write them out and list as many as you can find, or a lot of them, and just sit back and read it and just put it all together. And it's amazing the things the Spirit of God can show you as you read it. It's like a dinner table, and the food's coming out one plate at a time. And when it's all together, you say, wow, that's pretty amazing. So I'm just going to read some verses on grace. It's not what we're going to talk about, but anyway, it'll be nice. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that you will always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Ephesians 1:6-7. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. According to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. That's amazing. 2 Thessalonians 1:12. So that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Titus 3:4-6. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Finally, Hebrews 4:16, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So today, well, that just helped me calm me down a little bit, so that's great. But how wonderful is the grace of God. And today it's not about a doctrinal teaching about grace at all. It's just a personal sharing with you some things the Lord showed me, especially during the conference. That's really the reason I'm sharing, is when Dana was sharing about the Laodicean church, the Lord really placed upon my heart something about the grace of God. So I don't really want to talk about all the Laodicean problems necessarily. We'll read about it, but more about the grace of God poured out upon us. And again, it's just going to be a simple word of his love for us and how wonderful he is to us. I think maybe as I'm getting a little older, the simple things matter more. I don't know, but it seems that way. So let's look at, let's turn to Revelation 3, and we'll read 14 through 22. And we'll see how great is the grace of God. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, to the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot, so that because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and become wealthy and have need of nothing, you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and the eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And this is the verse we're looking at today. This is what he spoke to me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will dine with him and he will dine with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Mainly, we'll be looking at verse 20. It says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. That's a well-known verse. I mean, John 3:16 in this verse, I mean, we all know. But it's a simple verse describing a simple thing. Someone coming to the door of your house, knocking, asking to come in. Coming in, he sits down and dines with you. And you, upon hearing his knock and his voice, you open the door. You let him in and you dine. Having dinner together. A very simple thing. But notice here, we have that which the Lord does and that which we do. The Lord comes to us. He's the one that comes to us and stands at the door. He knocks and speaks for us. And he comes in and dines with us. Now, I'm looking at this personally, to me personally, to us as an assembly. Like, this was written to the Laodicean church, to the people within the Laodicean church, and I'm just looking at it for us. This is where the Lord showed me and kind of made this real to me. So I'm hoping that's all right with you, that we share it this way. So the Lord comes to us. He stands at the door. He knocks, and he dines with us. And when he knocks, we hear, and we open, and then we dine with him. And right away, we see the grace of God. Here, he takes the initiative. He's the one that comes and stands at our heart's door. He finds us. He seeks us where we are. You know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But also, as believers, he seeks after us in the same way he sought after us when we didn't know the Lord. This is still God's heart. He seeks for that one lost sheep. He comes and finds that one lost sheep. He comes and finds him. And to me, how great is the grace of the Lord, that he actually would come to our heart, our heart's door, and stand He comes to us. What amazing grace. He comes and he stands at the door. Consider the one standing there. We've had a wonderful worship time about considering the one who comes to your door's heart and to mine. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? It is Christ Jesus who died, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us." And add to that, who comes and knocks on your heart's door. You know, that what an amazing honor that is for the Lord to be knocking on our heart's door. It's not just any guest, you know. This is the Lord, the one who died for us, who gave his life for us, who loves us, and he comes and knocks on our heart's door. This knocking is a continuous knocking. It's not that he knocked one time, but I believe the Greek verb is he's continually knocking on our heart's door. You know, he doesn't give up. He doesn't give up. The believer who, not hearing quite very well, he just doesn't give up. And praise the Lord for the grace that he's poured out on us. He does not stop knocking. He always knocks at our heart's door. He comes in, and then he dines with us. This is the Lord's desire. This is the whole reason he comes to our heart's door. And we'll get to that, more of that later. But John 14:21 says, "I will come to him. We will come to him and make our abode with him." 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "I will dwell in them and walk among them." Ephesians 3:17 says, "So that Christ may dwell in your heart." And you, brothers and sisters, you all know so many other verses that talk about how the Lord wants to come in and dine with us, have fellowship with us. We see this grace of his that this is one of such glory that we come to the door of my heart. That's amazing grace. It's grace that he keeps on knocking and calling for us. And I want to share this. There's not one person in this room, in this gathering, there's not one person in this assembly who the Lord does not want to be with. Now, brothers and sisters, isn't that an amazing thing? There's no one so high or so low, so going on with the Lord or not going on with the Lord, however you want to say it, he knocks on every door. And he wants to come in and have fellowship and dine with us. And he knocks loudly for some. For some, he knocks very softly, and your answer right away is yes. But it's going to be simple today. But isn't that the simplicity of that an amazing, wonderful thing? That our God wants to have fellowship with us and come in. He knocks on our door, gets our attention, and he wants to come in and have fellowship with us. I find that to be very amazing. This dining together speaks of fellowship, of sharing, of conversation. I just want to share, when I was growing up, I had four brothers, and dinner time was always very special, as you can imagine. Mom kicked you out of the house after breakfast. You came in for lunch a little bit, and then she kicked you out again, and then you came back for the big meal of the day, which was dinner. Now, four boys, our favorite meal was fried chicken, and my mom knew how to cook fried chicken. Dora, did you have fried chicken when you were? Big black skillet. I don't think she used lard, but she used Crisco, and she could make some rolls that were amazing. She would make at least two dozen. The first dozen was gone before it got out of the oven for us, and then we'd finish it off at the dinner table. But our dinner time was very, very special. I have warm, fond memories of dinner time with my parents, my brothers. Our family is kind of strange. We would talk about doctrines. I remember we used to talk about that kind of stuff all the time. My dad was a preacher, Bible teacher, so we just tend to argue. We weren't having what you would say a wonderful, loving. We argued about stuff. But we loved each other, and it was time of getting to know each other. And it was a wonderful time. And I have fond memories of the meals, getting to know my family. And Sarah and I, when we got married, we decided we were going to have family time every evening. And we started doing that before we had children and then after we had children. We made sure that we had a meal time. And at that time, that was the time when you, of course, I was at work, came back and kind of connected with the kids again, connected with her, and had fellowship. How was your day? What's going on? A time of communion. This is something all of you grew up with. I can see some of you smiling. You remember those times. Even now, you have times with your family. And it's a very simple time of sharing and fellowship. And the point is that it's a very intimate, personal time. That's what it is. And isn't it amazing thing that the Lord wants to have this intimate, personal dining time with us? It seems like I've complicated life, the spiritual walk, a lot. And after just reviewing this verse in my heart and asking the Lord about this verse, I've come to realize how sweet and precious it is just to sit with the Lord and dine with Him, to have sweet communion with Him. Every day He wants to dine with me. Every day the Lord wants to dine with each one of you. Every day He knocks on the door and says, I want to come in, and I want to dine with you. The Lord loves us. He wants to dine with us. The Lord loves this assembly. He wants to dine with us here, like He did this morning. Every time we get together, the Lord wants to be in our presence. Not in something big and complicated necessarily, just fellowship, sharing. It's like eating a meal together. You just want to be with the other person. And doesn't it touch your heart that the Lord, the King of Glory, wants to dine with you? Young people, think about that. The Lord wants to dine with you. All of us, just each one individually, the Lord wants to have fellowship with you and dine with you. Of course, it'll be fried chicken and biscuits and stuff, but okay. I just want to give a testimony of a troubled time in my life where this was so precious. My mother, when she was dying of cancer, she and I used to always look at a video that the church, she got from the church. And it was a 2-year-long process, and her family stayed with her on and off the whole time, 24/7, around the clock. And when it was my turn, we would push in this video that she got from Emmanuel Baptist Church, and it was a video on the 23rd Psalm. And we would read the Psalm, and we would look at that video, and we would just marvel at how good the shepherd was. And she clung to that chapter. You know, that says, the Lord prepares the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And we both prayed about that. I remember often at night, I would hear her in there praying that psalm to the Lord. Precious memory. But during her times of trouble, she dined with the Lord. The Lord gave her this food to dine on. That time I was dining on Isaiah chapter 12. I will trust and not be afraid. It seemed like one phrase is all that went through my heart. The Lord is my salvation. You know, just dining with the Lord in times of trouble, isn't it so precious? The Lord wants to be with us and dine with us in the good times and the bad. how precious is the love of our Lord. There's a song by George Beverly Shea. Y'all know who he is. Singer that was sung for Billy Graham. Gave up a career in singing to sing. And the Spirit of God used him to open up the hearts of many, many, many souls. And there's a song that I'd like just to read the lyrics to that he wrote. Very simple. And so much is well in my heart that I pray that the Holy Spirit would pass on to you. There's a wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder of sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonder that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. I don't think I could do that. Our Lord went through so much to dine with us. I can't read any more of that song. It's too much. It is so simple, brothers, that he did so much for us. And I wonder whether we really sense the magnitude of that. Now, the grace of the Lord and his love gets a lot clearer when we consider the ones to whom this verse is written to. So look back in Revelation. Well, you don't. You can just listen to him. You don't need to read all of it. Now, some say this church was the worst church of all the seven churches. There's nothing good in them like there was in others. Even some of the others, there's something good. In Smyrna, the Lord said, "You're rich in the Lord." To Ephesus, they had perseverance and endured for his name's sake. Pergamum held fast to the Lord's name and didn't deny the faith. Thyatira had deeds of love and faith. Sardis had a few who kept the garments clean. In Philadelphian church, they had some who had some power and kept the word and didn't deny his name. Then you come to Laodicea. Nada. Nothing. I mean, it's like there's nothing there. And brothers and sisters, it's to this church that gets this verse. Isn't that an amazing thing? Why didn't he give it to the Ephesian church or the Philadelphian church? Behold, I come and stand at your door and knock, and I want to come in and dine with you, to the Laodicean church. Isn't that such a demonstration of the grace of God? They were wretched, poor, blind, naked, proud, and deceived. And yet, it seems that the Lord chose this church to give this wonderful verse of grace. We have a great contrast here in the grace of God and who that grace comes upon. You've all seen in your own life. But in this church, what a contrast. There's a song that says, "Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt." The refrain goes, "Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin." All you can say is God's grace was greater than the Laodiceans' sin and wickedness, wasn't it? I have another personal testimony. I remember distinctly when Danny was sharing on this, the Lord told me, God's grace is upon the Laodicean church. And I really was very uncomfortable with that. Now, it's not right to be uncomfortable with that. And I realize there's some things inside of me that made it uncomfortable. I surely could point to some verses that says, "Lord, you shouldn't have fellowship with them. They're this way. Why?" So my next thinking was, well, surely he's going to go clean them up really clean before he comes in to dine with them. Because dining is fellowship. I mean, dining is like personal, intimate. How could he, you know where I'm going with that? And I knew that didn't sound right. You know, our Lord's loving and kind. And I realized just one thing came to my heart was, Roger, you were raised very strict. I have a very strict upbringing. I'm a fundamental independent Baptist. Fundamental's bad enough. Independent Baptist, I mean, that's... There were some a little worse, but not many. And despite knowing about God's grace and love, I couldn't receive that he really would come to a people like the Laodiceans, politely knock on their door, and ask interest to dine and to have fellowship. But the more I considered God's grace, my heart has changed. God's love extends to us all. His grace extends to us all. May we never forget that. And I thought of some times in the gospel with whom the Lord dined. Some of the times, the dining scenes, I'll call it. And I have three that would just give us a little sense of the Lord's heart in dining with people. Who he dined with, and you can probably already think of some. They kind of give us a sense of the gracious love of our Lord. So let's turn to Mark chapter 2. Very short here. We'll just read 2:14 through 17. And as the Lord passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." He got up and followed him. And it happened that as he was reclining at the table of his house, and many tax collectors and sinners were dining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many of them, and they were following him. So we see here, Matthew, the tax collector, was there. Matt's buddies were there. All of his tax collectors. I hate the IRS, so all the very despicable people collect taxes. Not quite as bad with the sinners. Tax collectors were really up top there. Sinners were there. Disciples were there. And, of course, our Lord Jesus was there. They were all dining there together, enjoying a meal together. Now, we've read this so much that it's like, of course, but the Lord dined with sinners. He dined with tax collectors. Of course, we would never look upon this like the Pharisees, but I found my heart looking upon that like a Pharisee. Lord, how could you dine with sinners? Worse yet, how could you dine with a sinning church? But the Lord said, there's a Pharisee that asked quite a good question. How is it, Lord, that you can sit and eat with these sinners? How can you do that? And what a question. And, of course, the Lord said, they're needy. They need me. I'm who they need. And that's why I'm dining with them, because I have their answers. I have the answers to their issues. I'm not going to get into all the doctrines of stuff, but just to say how wonderful that is that the Lord would dine with sinner. Again, what grace that the Lamb of God would sit and dine with sinners, that the Holy One, full of grace and truth, would sit and dine with greedy, fraudulent tax collectors. That's an amazing thing to me. It seems that our Lord will dine with those he loves and those he wants to heal and deliver, for those for whom he spilt his blood. He's willing to dine with us, even though we're sinners. And I just want to say, what marvelous grace of our Lord that would do that. Turn to Luke 19. I think I'm looking at this mainly because I like this story so much, so hopefully it'll be a blessing. Luke 19, 2 through 10. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Now Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, That's the knock. That's not the Lord knocking on Zacchaeus' heart. Better not do it too hard. But that's a knock. Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. But Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. I have defrauded anyone, I will give back four times. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. Verse 5 is, Jesus came to the place and he looked up. And this is the Lord knocking on Zacchaeus' heart. This is the Lord getting his attention. And then he said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today. And this is like in Revelation where the Lord's speaking. He says, I want to come in. I want to dine with you. And the main reason for reading this is Zacchaeus' response. Zacchaeus, that wee little man, jumped down out of the tree and ran ahead with rejoicing in his heart because the Lord was coming to his house. And this I just love because this shows what our heart should be. Almost like every day before you open the Word in the morning, every time we come to fellowship to worship and to pray, our heart needs to have that heart of rejoicing like Zacchaeus. Just think of that wee little man running home and he was so excited that the Lord was coming to stay at his house. And isn't that amazing? Wonderful story. Also, the Lord said, Zacchaeus. And the Lord calls us by name. He says, Roger, Jerry, I mean, I could look around the whole room and each one of your names, I'm coming to your house. And your response, if the Holy Spirit said that to you, would be, wow, I'm going to be ready. And you know, we have a precious honor of dining with the Lord so often and hearing him calling us by name and asking to come and dine with us. What a precious thing that is. Finally, let's look at another story, John 21, 1 through 17. And after these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said, well, we'll come with you. So they went out, got into a boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus stood on the beach. Jesus stood at their heart's door. And Jesus said unto them, children, you do not have any fish, do you? So the Lord's beginning to talk to them. And he said to them, cast a net on the right-hand side. And he said, cast a net on the right hand of the boat, and you will find a catch. So they cast, and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of people. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. So when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put off his outer garment and threw himself into the sea. And further on, you see that the Lord had already set a charcoal fire there with some fish, and he made breakfast with them. In verse 12, and Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Come dine with me. None of the disciples, so Jesus took the bread and gave it to them. Jesus said, come dine with me. And this breakfast was really for Peter. So Peter denied the Lord three times. And this story, to me, shows the great grace and love of our Lord that he chose to deal with Peter after he dined with him and had communion with him. He didn't hit him right up when he got out of the boat. He made the fish. He made the fire. He made breakfast for them, and they dined together. And my point to share here is that the Lord fixes us at the table. The Lord fixes us at the table. It was after the meal that Jesus dealt with Peter. Jesus dealt with his denial after he fellowshiped with him first. They enjoyed the meal that Jesus prepared, and the Lord had great compassion. And what a picture of the grace of God. He is so kind to us that when we have things that are wrong, he comes in first and has communion. He would ask us, dine with him first, and then he'll show you what in your life needs to be fixed. And I would like to say, perhaps for the Laodicean church, this is where the eye salve was brought. This is where the gold was. This is where the Lord showed them, my blood is sufficient for all your sin. And this is why the Lord could come to the Laodicean church and ask to dine with them, and then he fixed their issues, and then he fixed their problems. At the table, he shows us how to confess. We know his cleansing blood. He clothes us at the table. We get eye salve to see. He chastens us and rebukes us, encourages us at the table, not outside the door. I realized my heart was saying, Lord, you need to chasten them first and then come in. And my simple word to us today is, no, that's not the way the grace of the Lord works for us. He invites us in. He says, I want to come into your heart. He chases us down when we're like the lady to see in church, and he knocks and knocks and knocks and says, I want to come in. And then you dine with me, you say yes to me, and I'll have fellowship with you, and I'll fix your issues. And brothers and sisters, I believe this is the way it is for us, that the Lord wants to dine with each one of us. As we're praying for believers that are in trouble and difficulties, perhaps the prayer of our heart should be, Lord, help them to open the door so that you can dine with them. For once the Lord's in, then the problems get worked on. Once the Lord's there, problems can be endured because the Lord's with you. Once the Lord's there, he shows you how to apply the blood. He shows you how to claim for yourself the blood of the Lord Jesus. He shows you how to confess your sins so that his blood can wash you clean. It's only with the Lord's communion and fellowship can we do that. So that's my simple word today. That's my simple word today, that the Lord loves us. He desires to dine with each of us. The Lord loves this assembly, and he desires to dine with us in this assembly. You know, I used to do tables at the conference, and Lord willing, maybe again if we do some more, but those conference tables that the kids made were a picture of that dining together. And you know, when the Lord first came into our heart, that first time that he knocked and we received him and asked him to come in, you know, he brought, this is my vision, he brought a housewarming gift. He brought a cup and some bread, the wine and the bread, and he brought a Bible. He brought his written holy, he brought his holy word. Of course, I see it as a nice old Bible, not a cell phone, but an actual Bible. And you know, as we, there you go. The Lord dines with us in our hearts, and he shows himself sufficient for everything. And he speaks to us through the word, and as we read the word, it's as if the Lord is with you, which he is, and his finger is on the word of God, and he's pointing out these things for your daily life, your daily walk with him. You know, isn't it amazing that we can dine with the Lord, that he loves us? And it's amazing to me that God loves me, God loves you, and he wants to dine with us. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to praise you for this simple, wonderful story of grace. Dining together with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Dining with the Good Shepherd, the one who loves us. Dining with the one who spilt his blood for us. Lord, dining with that one who's so loving and kind to us. Lord, forgive us for the times when we've shut the door, when we haven't said yes to your presence. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be full of yes, full of wanting to have you in and dining with us. Lord, may we look forward in the future weeks and months to dining together with you in the assembly. Lord, may our hearts have that heart of Zacchaeus, ones of rejoicing that we can be together with you. Lord, thank you for your love for us. In your name I pray. Amen.